In Sunday school, we've been looking at, if you'll turn your Bibles to Hebrews, the sixth chapter, we've been looking at spiritual gifts, and then we took a little departure to look at the fact that every Christian can or should be able to teach some fundamentals. And you have in the fifth chapter when they had ought to be teaching, and then he lists the fundamental principles of the Christian faith, New Testament Christian faith, kind of redundant there, but we said it to be careful. In the first two verses of the sixth chapter, I'll read them, then we'll look to the Lord in prayer. Therefore, sixth chapter, first verse, leaving the beginning words, goes back to the beginning principles of the 12th verse of the previous chapter. Of the New Testament doctrine concerning Christ, let us go be borne on to maturing, not laying again the foundation of, and then a colon, and here's our list. One, repentance from good works, and that would be understanding how, as a new Christian, to confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, and a faith towards God. That would be in the context here, that a Christian is to put their faith towards New Testament promises, not Old Testament promises. 3, verse 2, the doctrine, New Testament doctrine of baptisms. A new Christian needs to be taught that they are baptized into the body of Christ spiritually so they can be baptized by water baptism, signifying that. And laying on of hands for the giving credence and respect to those that are deserve it, and not to give it to those that do not deserve it spiritually. Resurrection of dead ones, which is we're going to do today, and eternal judgment. Now, we have very purposely gone into these to more detail than I would expect a new Christian to know. And the reason, I'll give that reason, then we'll look to the Lord in communication. I gave you a personal example that I knew a high school teacher that taught math, and he had had calculus, and we got into the subject that he feel, or it was his discernment, and I think this is true, that even people who teach the third grade kids multiplication, if they understood algebra, or at least had some understanding of algebra and calculus and higher math, trigonometry, which I took too, you would teach multiplication differently than if, in other words, when you teach, if your highest level of understanding is multiplication, you shouldn't be teaching multiplication because you don't know where that's going. Now, and I think that that's true. Let me give you an example. In most schools, if you teach on the baccalaureate level, you have to have a master's degree. If you teach on the master's level, you have to have a doctorate degree. And so that's, you always should know more than you teach. And I'll give you an example before we look to the Lord in communication. The reason I went so in detail on baptism, I don't expect a new Christian to know about John's baptism, and I don't necessarily expect the regular member to remember that, but I want you in the back of your head when you teach, if you have occasion to teach a new Christian the difference between water and spiritual baptism. By the way, I should also mention it takes your whole Christian life of learning what that spiritual baptism, what all that entails. But having said that, when you teach a newborn Christian that their water baptism symbolizes their spiritual baptism, in the back of your mind, I wanted you to know that that's different from John's baptism, and there's no baptism in the Old Testament, and that's different from Jesus' baptism. So we go into far more detail to, and I got looking it up. I've been here 7.5 years, so I obviously should be teaching 7.5 years later at a deeper level than I did 7.5 years ago, because I've laid the foundation. So here's my point, and then we'll look to the Father. We're teaching this much deeper than I expect to you as maturing saints, much deeper than I expect a new Christian. But that deeper understanding will help you teach the ABCs should you have occasion to a newborn Christian, just as the calculus versus multiplication example. Okay, let's bow before the Lord. Our Father, we do thank you that we have opportunity to look in your word, and we would ask as we look there that we see the nuances and the deepness and the richness that you have provided to us as saints in the New Testament, and we thank you for that. Amen. Now, the fifth in this list of fundamentals to a Christian is resurrection from dead. Now, in the English, I know you don't get this, and I believe if you have an interlinear, a Marshall's interlinear, they translate this as dead persons. We're going to take a little exception to that, but the point I want to point out to you is that in the English, you have the word dead. And really, what does that mean? In the original language, it's a plural. That's why in the interlinear, the Marshalls, they translated dead persons. There's no way in the English, by translating it one word for one word, that you say deads. You can't do that. But what I'm spending all this time to do is to let you know that that is a plural. And so the best translation is the resurrection of dead ones. It's plural. Now, I'm going to give you a little clue. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. Whenever you, pretty much, and it's true here, when you see the resurrection of dead ones, plural, so just if you'll allow me, just for the sake of it, I want to let you know that that's a plural. That's including unsaved people. Let me give you an example of which is just saved people. Keep your finger, well, we're not going to come back here. But go to 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, and the 14th verse, when it's referring to the bodies of dead Christians. He wants you to see what phrase it used. And what them that sleep in Jesus. So really, and I haven't checked this out, but I want you to start thinking this way. Whenever in the New Testament, when it talks about dead ones, it's talking about both saved and unsaved. Now watch what I'm going to do here. Bodies, not persons. You see? Now, why am I saying that? And if it's just going to refer to just saved people, it's going to use this. It's going to say them that sleep. Because from a Christian point of view, when we bury a body or cremate it, if it's a Christian, it's just temporary, because we believe the promises. Now, this is always a reference to just bodies. How do we prove that? Well, all of God's children turned over to James, the second chapter, because they remember we've been here so many times. James, the second chapter, and the 26th verse. For the body without the human spirit is dead. In this verse, what is dead? The body. So it's the body that dies. It is not the person. I say this till I'm blue in the teeth, and I've talked to people not here, but they still don't get it. So it's never the person. It's always the body that dies. So back in Hebrews, the sixth chapter and the second verse, resurrection of dead ones, it's talking about resurrection of both saved and unsaved bodies. Now, this is what I would expect a new Christian to be taught. There are two types of resurrection. That's where it would stop. Now, I'm going to go in much more detail than I would expect a new Christian to know, because you're going to get the calculus so that you can teach the multiplication, if you like that extended metaphor. But Scripture is very clear. Whenever it says resurrection of dead ones, it's talking about resurrection of both saved and unsaved. So we got to be very careful here with our language. Unsaved people are going to get resurrected. They're not going to get glorified. Unsaved people are going to get a permanent body. It's not a glorified body. It's not going to be a happy time for them. So we want to look into these two types of resurrections. You have that in the Old Testament. Turn to Daniel, the 12th chapter. And remember, a quick way to remember it is Daniel's around 920, somewhere in there. There it is. 919. Daniel, the 12th chapter, and the second verse. Now, because there are other people that listen to than you, you don't need this, but the way I'm going to translate this comes from a Hebrew grammar, and you remember his name, Samuel Tergellis, and it's on, got it written right here on page 159, 164 through 169. So I'm not making, this isn't, that O'Shea, he just makes up stuff. No, I got a grammar that says that this is the way you translate that. And what you have here are two groups. Now, I want to be very honest with you. From an Old Testament point of view, it looks like they're all going to get raised at the same time. But there are two kinds of resurrection here. Verse 2, chapter 12 of Daniel, page 919. And many of them from among that sleep in the dust. Now, this is Old Testament, so it's talking about bodies. And since it's talking about resurrection, it also, this word sleep in the Old Testament includes unsaved. Many of them that sleep in the earth shall awake. Now, instead of some, it should be these to eternal life. That's one group. Now, you have, you don't know this in the Old Testament, but you have about 1,007 years that come between after the word life and the word and. And so in my way of having notes in my Bible, I put a little parenthesis there. There's a lot of time goes after the word life. Well, we were not going to spend much time on that today, but okay, let's do it again. And many from among them that sleep in the dust shall awake, these to eternal life. And the rest, instead of the sum, there's two groups here, the rest to shame and eternal contempt. So you have two types of resurrection. You have some to reward and some to punishment. And we'll just say some that ain't so good. Now, from an Old Testament point of view, it's way out in the future. You have no pinpoint of when it is. And you have no idea they're all at the same, when they are in time. Jesus, the last Old Testament prophet, over in the book of John and the 5th chapter, also refers to these two types of resurrection. Two types of resurrection. And that's in John, the 5th chapter, and the 28th verse. And here, it's clear that resurrection refers to body. The body comes up. The person's not in that body. The safest place to be is in a graveyard with no vandals that are trying to mark the graves. Then none of those people, none of those bodies in the graveyard are going to mess with you. And it used to be the crooks were scared of the graveyards, and that's not true anymore. Okay, John 5:28. Marvel not at this, this is Jesus speaking, for the hour is coming in which all, now he's talking about bodies, that are in the grave shall hear his voice, talking about himself in the third person. And all shall come forth. The all is ellipsis there. And they that have made, really, that have practiced good, in other words, made God happy, unto the resurrection of life. Now that's the eternal life that we saw over in Daniel 12:2. Old Testament saints do not have eternal life yet. After the word life, put another one of these parentheses, because right in there goes our 1,007 years. And they that have done worthlessness under the resurrection of condemnation. So you have two kinds of resurrection in Daniel 12:2 and in John 5:28 and 29. But everybody, B-O-D-Y, everybody will be resurrected. That resurrected body will be joined to their human soul and spirit. So there is a resurrection of unsaved people to a permatized body, but it's not a glorified body. Now, I'm going to show you something to drive this home. So from an Old Testament point of view, they know there's two kinds of resurrection. One to reward and one to punishment. And they know those bodies are going to be resurrected. Over in Hebrews 11 chapter, and I don't want to get sidetracked, it talks about from an Old Testament point of view, they actually knew there were different kinds of resurrection for Old Testament people. That's not true of us, so we won't spend a lot of time on it. And so they worked a little bit harder during their life. By the way, there's a lot of Baptist preachers today. I heard one today trying to make their congregation work harder so they get a better resurrection. That is not faith towards God. That's faith towards man, because that's misapplying Old Testament promise. Got sidetracked. Now, I'm going to show you an example, if you turn to John, the 11th chapter, of a very good, I'm not criticizing this person, a very good Old Testament saint. And how they viewed the future, because they didn't have Christian doctrine. And then I'm going to show you the Christian doctrine, which should be in the back of your mind when you teach a new Christian the difference between the two resurrections. What I'm going to show you today isn't stuff I'd teach a new Christian, but it's stuff you would have in the back of your mind as you teach a new Christian. And over in John 11, we have a very interesting situation. You have Lazarus, his two sisters, Mary and Martha, all of whom believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they couldn't internalize what all that meant. They knew that he was the Son of God, but they didn't fully comprehend, because they didn't have an indwelling Holy Spirit, that he was pure deity. And so when the brother dies, they knew he could heal. He was supernatural, but they couldn't get it all. Don't blame them. You would have done the same. And they couldn't put it all together that he was pure deity. They knew he was special. And when Lazarus dies, Mary and Martha think that he wouldn't have died if he had been in proximity or close to Jesus. And Jesus could have healed him. Now, they were a little worried about him being restored to life, not resurrected, because it was the fourth day and he stunk. In that climate, we have scripture here tells us in that climate, the third day, it indicates, the third day the body was still, you could still go in the room. On the fourth day, you couldn't. Now, that has something to do with the gospel, why his body was buried 3 days and 3 nights. Not two, not four. So anyway, Lazarus' body's in the grave 4 days and it stinks. And Martha is very upset. And Jesus, in verse 22, let's start with verse 21 of the 11th chapter of John. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, proximity, my brother had not died. So I know you're supernatural, but I don't fully comprehend deity. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, knowing that there's the God the Father will give to you. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again, saying, haven't you read Daniel 2, or chapter 12, verse 2? And Martha says, yes. And this is her understanding of Daniel 12, verse 2. And Martha said unto him, I intellectually know that my brother shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, that's not quite accurate, except that's the last day. It's not the last day, but it is that he will be resurrected. Now, do you see that she did not understand that there's a difference in time between the resurrection of those in the Old Testament for reward versus those that were going to be resurrected for punishment? So when we went to Daniel 12:2 and we put a parenthesis in here, and we went to John 5, verse 29, and I told you there's 1,007 years in there between those two types of resurrection. Did Martha seem to understand that? No, because she hadn't read the New Testament. And I can kind of see why, because it hadn't been written for another 30 years after this. Okay? So don't put your New Testament glasses on and give it to the Old Testament saints. They didn't have it. They didn't have it. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians 15. And if you mark in your Bible, I want you to mark, I'm going to give you the markings of 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm going to start with verse 20. And we're going to get these all in order. And we're going to give you the logic of it, because you have the two types of resurrection here. But let me be very clear. Until Paul and the Holy Spirit write 1 Corinthians 15, it is not common knowledge, although I think they did do it word of mouth. It is not common knowledge that there are the two types of resurrection have an order. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 20. But now Christ is risen. Now I want to add another little phrase here. There's another thing we need to add here, because it's here. It's a preposition in the original language that's ek. It just means out from, as to source. And it's right in front of these dead ones. You people that were caught in traffic, dead is always plural. We spend a lot of time. So it's dead ones. In English, you can't do it. You can't say out from the deads. Well, I could, but you shouldn't. Okay, so when I read this verse, I'm not making this up. If you got an interlinear, you can see I'm telling you true. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15. Now Christ is risen out from the dead once, ton necron. And this word out is very important, because I'm going to set you up for this, and then we're going to go to Revelation 20, Lord willing. And the trees don't fall and the creeks don't rise. Out from among dead ones is the first type of resurrection. I haven't proved that to you yet, but we will. But this, you got it kind of here, but it doesn't actually define it the way we will. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15. Now Christ is risen, and really is stronger than that. In the past rose with the results that he's presently risen out from among dead ones, and became the first fruit, singular, of them that slept. There's another one. He's the first sample of all the first type of resurrection out from among dead ones. The word first fruit means a sample of those to come. So Jesus Christ's resurrection is a sample of out from among dead ones' resurrection. It is not a sample of the second kind of resurrection. Verse 21, for since through man, that's Adam, came physical death, by another man, that's the second Adam, Jesus Christ, actually, he's not called the second Adam. He's called the last Adam. And that is over in verse 45. By the last Adam came also resurrection regarding dead ones. So Christ's resurrection is the first fruit of the first type of resurrection, but it gave him the authority to do both kinds of resurrection. Verse 22, for by Adam all die physically. That's where the life cycle comes from. Even so by Christ. Now do you see how it uses the term Christ? Christ meaning the glorified and risen one. After chapter 2 of Acts, shall all be made alive. That includes unsaved people. Verse 23. But everyone in his very own, it's strong there, idios, in his very own order. Now this word order has to do with rank. So there's a rank of resurrections. This word for rank of resurrections is used a lot of times as a military term. And I don't know, is he with it? When they do military parades, do they still put the officers up the front, and then as the parade goes by, you get back to the buck? They don't use those terms anymore. But it used to be the generals, then the, what's the next one? Colonels, and then goes on down to the buck private. Well, that's this term of rank. So it has two different connotations, one of which is there's an order in priority or order of importance or an order, I'm going to tell you, of glorification. And the second is that they're different. So I'm going to tell you at the start, there are four of them. Now we're going to number them in this passage. It's not very hard to figure out the first one. What have we just read? So the first of this order is Christ. He just told us that. Verse 23, the first fruit. So right by Christ, the first fruit, put a one. Now, we're going to read farther. Afterwards, they, if you've read 1 Corinthians 5, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know the difference between us and them. Us and they. Go down to verse 51. I show you a mystery, we. So the they there cannot be Christians. Got it? Then they, let's discern who are there, that are Christ at his coming. That's the second coming. So we know there's going to be a resurrection at Christ's second coming. That cannot be Christians, because Christians have been raised 7 years before that. Now, how could Old Testament saints be Christ? Over in the third chapter, I believe it's the third chapter. Keep your finger here. We're coming back. Go to Romans, the third chapter. Oh, there it is. Yeah, third chapter, 25th verse. Romans 3:25, whom God the Father has set forth to be a satisfaction, the place of satisfaction, through faith by Christ's blood, to declare his righteousness because of the redemption of sins that are past. So on the cross, now they didn't believe in Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, but on the cross, Christ paid the price for sins that go all the way back in the past, actually clear back to Adam. So saints of all times belong to Christ. But not all saints of all times are Christ. Got it? There's a difference. back over to 1 Corinthians 15, last part of verse 23. They that are Christ, that belong to Christ at his second coming. Well, we'll have already been resurrected for 7 years. So that can't be us. And I'm going to tell you to go ahead, and then we'll prove it to you, to put a 3 right there. Now, where does the second go? Where's the second resurrection? We know there's a second resurrection. Go down to verse 51. Behold, I am telling you a mystery. Now, let's talk about this word mystery very quickly. We usually go to Romans 16, but keep your finger here and go with me to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter, and it's the 26th verse. This is the way Paul uses the word mystery. I don't care how anybody else uses it. This is the way Paul and the Holy Spirit use it. The mystery which, Colossians 1:26. The mystery having been hidden from ages and generation, but now is made plain. So a mystery, the way Paul uses it, is they didn't know it in the Old Testament. Did Martha know this before Acts 2? No. Did the people who read Daniel and Daniel know this? No. This is New Testament truth. Now, the reason I be very careful with the word mystery is because there's religions that, it's mystical. No, it's a mystery, meaning it wasn't known in the Old Testament. But what does it say in the last part of this verse? It's hard to understand. No, it says it's made plain. That's what the word manifest is. So a mystery is something that wasn't revealed until Paul and the Holy Spirit reveal it in the New Testament, and it's easy to understand now. Verse 51, 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Behold, I am telling you or saying to you a mystery. So this is the mystery. Paul, including himself with the reader, shall not all sleep. So that means that not all bodies of Christians will be buried or cremated. But we all shall be changed. Now, in this passage, he's going to be developing the concept of a live generation at the rapture. Some people come here and say the rapture was a mystery. It doesn't say that. It says that the mystery part is that there's a live generation. The reason for that is 1 Thessalonians was probably written before this. And if 1 Thessalonians was written before this, he's showing that this is a mystery to the Corinthians. Okay, now here's what we got. So if there's a live generation from Paul's point of view, this could have... Technically, from a biblical point of view, the rapture could have occurred 2,000 years ago. There was no prophecy that had to be fulfilled. So the second one has to be down in verse 51, and that's the rapture. Because it was still a mystery over in verse 23. You got that? Now, the rapture... Then the Old Testament saints, which is 3, at his coming, at the second coming. Now we got, so now we're getting our ranks. We got one more rank to go. Trust me, you don't want to be the 4th rank, the buck private on this thing. Verse 24. Then comes the end resurrection. Now, here's where we're going to have a dividing line. There's actually another resurrection, but we're not going to put it in here today. And there's some some exceptions to all bodies being resurrected, but let's not get too sidetracked. Now, what we want to do is to show you this first in type. So these three, I never could do those things. These three are all the first in type. And the end resurrection is the, by numerical value, the second in type. Let's turn to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Now, again, I wouldn't expect all this to be known by a new Christian, but I would expect a founded Christian to have this in the back of their mind as they teach, that there's two types of resurrection, and all the promises to Christians say you're going to be part of this first type of resurrection. Okay, Revelation, the 20th chapter, and verse 4. And I, John, in a vision, I know the passage here, saw thrones. These are the elders, so that's the church. You're going to have different groups here, so be careful with your groups. So that's the church. And they that sat upon them, that's one group. And judgment was given unto them, that's the church. Also, now here's another group. I saw souls, this is the second group. Now, obviously, these are dead bodies. No, these are persons who, let's go the whole way. These are persons whose bodies are dead down on earth, but they're not on earth here. This is their soul and their spirit housed in a temporary body up in the third heaven. The soul, the edge of the third heaven, of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. That's, and I'm just going to tell you, the fifth seal is martyrs from the first half of the tribulation as a result of the harlot. These martyrs are in the second half of the tribulation as a result of the man of sin. Okay, just so you know, I know the context. Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither in his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead, nor in their hands, and they lived. Now that's resurrection. So they were dead at the beginning of this vision, but they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So this has to be right at the end of the tribulation, right before the millennium. There's actually 75 days in between. And that's where this vision takes place. Now, verse 5, you have to be very careful here. But the rest, so the rest is not talking about saints that were martyred during the millennium. So you have some other people who are going to get a resurrected body who are not saints. But the rest of the dead live not again, for 1,000 years were finished. Now here's where we're going. So at the end of the tribulation, trib, and all of God's people knew it was 7 years. At the end of the tribulation, saints get resurrected. After 1,000 years, writing sidewards, some other people get resurrected, but they're not saints. They're unsaved. Two different resurrections here. Got it? But the rest, verse 5, of the dead not lived for 1,000 years were finished. Now, that's a parenthesis. So if you want to be clear with the grammar here, at the start of verse 5, put a beginning parenthesis, just to help you out, read this. And at the end of the word finished, put another parenthesis. I think they divided this verse wrong. Okay, so that's one group. You got a group of martyrs get resurrected. You got a group of unsaved that get resurrected 1,000 years later. Obviously, two different groups. There's actually three groups here, the churches, but that's an old story. Okay, now the last part of verse 5 is a different group. The last part of verse 5 goes back, if you underline the word this, underline that and go back to they lived in verse 4. This, the ones that are living, are the first, not in time, type of resurrection. And it can't be the first in time because I just read to you Christ was the first resurrection. Every other somebody that came back to life anywhere else in the Bible is a restoration, not a resurrection. Lazarus was restored. There were several people in the Gospels that were brought back to life. They were restored to life, but then they died again. Resurrection has a concept no longer subject to the life cycle. Okay, so the last part of verse 5 belongs with verse 6. This is the first type. I'm adding the word type because it's obviously not time. This is the first type of resurrection. Blessed and holy is he, the one having part in the first type of resurrection, on which the second death had no power, meaning they will never be spiritually separated from God. So here we have two types of resurrection. In Daniel 12:2, those that have done those that are righteous unto resurrection or reward, and the others, the rest to Daniel 2. Those that would just be these right here. Those that have pleased God to eternal life, and those that haven't to eternal judgment. John 5, 28 and 29. The rapture is not included in either one of those. Those that have pleased God, that have done good, that please God, the resurrection reward. Those that haven't, those the resurrection of condemnation. Everybody's body is going to get resurrection, but there are two kinds of resurrection. I would expect that one of the first doctrines you would teach back to Hebrews 6, verse 2. That one of the first things that a new Christian should be taught is that their body will be resurrected and it's different than the unsaved. Now, it's going to take years and years and years to figure out what all that means. But every Christian should know there's two kinds of resurrection. And the first kind of resurrection, here's a verse that'll stick it for you. We'll end with this. Turn to Philippians. This is my favorite verse on resurrection. Philippians, the third chapter. You didn't get the out from, you're going to get it here. Revelation, the third chapter, and it's verse 11. And if somebody near you has an interlinear, you're seeing I'm going to tell you the truth. If by some means, I'm in Philippians 3:11, and 3:11 gets overpowered by 10 because it's a good verse, but 3:11 has some really good stuff in it too. If by some fashion I shall attain into the out resurrection, the one out from among dead ones. Do you think he wants you to know you're part of the first type of resurrection? The out resurrection, out from, and here's the concept. The in resurrection, there's no more dead ones. So it's not an out from among dead ones. That's, if you want to read about the in resurrection, we're trying to give everybody challenge subjects so you can go home and study. Read Revelation, the 20th chapter, and you can start with verse 11. With the great white throne judgment up through verse 15. That's the judgment of unsaved people after the millennium. 1,000 years after Old Testament saints get their resurrection, 1,007 years after the church gets their resurrection. So to reiterate and restate, every newborn Christian should be taught there's two types of resurrection. And buddy, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became part of that first resurrection. That's what every, and so you're not just saved to be, you're not saved just to be pleasing to the Lord. You're saved from a bunch of stuff as well. And that's important as well. Our Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for the folk here. And we thank you that we reinstituted our music program.